Great start to the new campaign. Wonderful game of football on Saturday, giving us lots to reflect on this evening. A little bit of activity on the transfer front, incomings and possible outgoings as well. Two games to preview, listeners Q&A, and a bit more on this week's Progress with Unity podcast. Come on, you lads, it's Gareth, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Yeah, great game Saturday.
Great start to the season, wasn't it?
It was fantastic. And, you know, these are the first starts of the new season, so just give us a little read of them. I think they're quite interesting.
Yeah. Evening, Barry.
Evening.
Evening, Adam. Adam, Si. Gareth.
Yes. Evening, fellas. The stats from that game, the first game of the season. Wigan versus Sheffield Wednesday. Possession. 47% to Wigan and 53% to Sheffield Wednesday attempts. The Latics managed 21 attempts, Sheffield Wednesday 8. On target, the Latics had 10 attempts on target, 4 to Sheffield Wednesday. Both teams had 3 corners. Both teams committed 12 fouls. Wigan got 1 yellow card, Sheffield got 5. Wigan got no reds, Sheffield got 1 red. Wigan got 3 goals, Sheffield got 2. Cracking game.
It was. And an attendance of 14,207 as well, which is much improvement on last season, isn't it? Without a doubt. First thing to talk about, the sending off.
Big Dave.
Was it a sending off? For me, it was a straight red. Because if you look at it again, I've watched the replay a couple of times, and I thought at the time, well, he did. He's punched. He's punched Kipre.
Cedric
in the back of the head.
Yeah, he was a bit of a dirty.
He punched him.
Should have been off before that.
He should have been.
He was a bit of a dirty man, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Never been sent off before though, apparently.
Oh, he should have been. Should have just been so
I don't know how he's avoided it, but
it's funny though because Kev last week was saying that Big Dave could be a bit of a nuisance, couldn't he?
How long has he been at? He's been there a while, hasn't he? He's always been like a bit of a
bit part player, hasn't he?
Been there a while, but then I think he scored 10 in 12 at the end of last season, and he obviously carried on that form, didn't he? He was a tough player to handle, wasn't he? But I think as the game went on, we got to grips with him a lot more.
Well,
moving on to our positives, really, those debutants.
You look at the back four that we had on Saturday, and three of them brand new players, and because we conceded two, all right, okay, but what? Cedric joined on Friday. Robinson joined, was it Thursday?
Friday.
And James hadn't been there all that.
Friday.
He made his, his professional debut. Yeah. So they've all, you know, had to gel very, very quickly.
Not only that, though, Si, not only that. Look at the age of the entire back four. I mean, usually in a back four, you have a seasoned pro touching 30. Somebody in his mid to late 20s, somebody else in his mid to late 20s alongside him, perhaps a young un getting some experience. When you think Shea Dunkley was the oldest player in there, how old is he? 24, 25? Mm. 25, yeah.
And the young goalkeeper.
A 21 year old goalkeeper, an 18 year old right back, a 20 year old left back, a 21 year old centre back, and Shea Dunkley.
There ain't nothing like Shea Dunkley.
Made me happy.
I think the whole team, you know, I think a certain member of the table tweeted on Saturday about the performance of the 11 players on the pitch. You couldn't fault one player at all, could you? I thought they were all...
Yeah, I thought Massimo was extra
fantastic, yeah.
He was brilliant.
Answered some critics we've had.
Well, he doesn't need to answer anybody, does he? Because, no. I mean, he does the job every single game he plays, he puts the effort in.
Can I just say something? I agree, I'm not going against you, it was terrific, but he should have scored.
Well, yeah, should have scored.
You know, but Jacobs would have scored, that's possibly the difference. Mm.
But Jacobs missed, didn't he, it there? We won.
True.
It's an hard one to. You can't expect someone to score off a rebound off the bar, because he'll be looking at that thinking, oh my god, it's going to be a goal, it comes to him quickly, and it's like.
It's a difficult chance, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't.
One in the second half.
He played very well. He had an outstanding for everybody.
Defensively as well, you know, it's when he's off the ball, he forces them to play whichever benefits the team. So if better if they go out wide, he'll position him. So I thought he was superb.
His pace was quite at it as well, weren't it? Because sometimes he's not seemed as quick, but he was very direct on Saturday. Yeah. And he was very quick as well.
I think the only thing that disappointed me was the fact we conceded two.
Yeah, and didn't score five.
Yeah, because I thought the performance... if that was your first game, you know, you're gone thinking, let's go and watch this and see what it's all about. You'd be hooked, wouldn't you? Because I thought it was a very entertaining game.
Brilliant.
From kick-off, we took the game straight to Sheffield Wednesday, we played good football.
Go back to the nightmare that we had under Warren Joyce, where we fractured after bloody breaking sweats or going over the halfway line. And then look at the difference is incomprehensible.
There was questions, yeah, weren't there, like, would Paul Cook be able to step up to this level? He'd never managed at this level before. Would the team, a lot of those players have played League One, you know, didn't necessarily do it in the Championship last time. But we're playing as a team, and that is the most important thing. You can have a group of players, you know, you can have a few world-class players, but I think if you're not playing as a team, you're not going to get the end results that you want. They're all playing for each other, and that's the main thing. You could see that on Saturday.
He's a very experienced manager, though, isn't he? I mean, if you look at, like, last time we had Warren Joyce, how many games has he managed as a first-team manager? Gary Caldwell was only in his second full season. This is an experienced manager. He knows the game very well. He's just stepping up a level, and to me it's a natural step up for him, because I think he's one of the brightest. We say young, he's 50s, but still relatively young in managerial terms, and I think he's already showing that he's rising to the challenge.
Mm. He's obviously a very good manager as well, isn't he? Because he got that, as Simon said, he's got that team ethic in the players. It's all for one and one for all, isn't it?
Well, that's it. And you look at some of the personalities of them that you see in the press and you hear about, you know, like Dan Gibson, Cal McManaman, Nick Powell, you know, you got lads. And to keep them, not necessarily on the straight and narrow, but keep them going and keeping them engaged with what the outcome is going to be, and getting them on the pitch on a Saturday. I mean, look at Gibson. Hartway, who was our pro for the Unity Man of the Match on Saturday. A fantastic game. And I spoke to some of the fans who slated him 12 months ago. Mm. So
he's certainly managed Powell better than any other manager has, and he's been at a fair few clubs.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
he's the only, well, along with maybe Rossler and Coyle briefly, but he's the only person who's got the best out of Nick Powell. And the fact that Nick actually wanted to stay rather than move to the Premier League says everything you need to know, doesn't it, in January? So
I think as well, yeah, I can't sit here now and think out a lot of things that Powell did, but I know he had a good game.
Scored a great goal because he didn't hang around. When Jacob shot, he was, as soon as it left Jacob's foot, again, if you watch the replay, you can see he sprints, because just in case the ball comes back.
This is what I'm getting to.
He was on his left foot as well, and his right footed.
In the past, Powell's been our main, you know, everything through him.
Yeah.
We've got other players now who are stepping up or come in and assisting Powell to give him maybe a bit more freedom, a bit more, you know, chances to do what he did on Saturday and take to that. It'd be interesting to see how he play against you know, another top team, because we'll have to get them quick succession. We've got, you know, Villa. Interested to see how we play against them and how we go at them away from home. Is it the same mentality?
I think we'll play the same way, mate. Like we did last season, we won 16 away games. It's the second highest ever in the Football League to win 16 games away from home in one season. And we played it. We won them by playing the same way we played at home.
We're not stupid, though, with it, are we? We're not just.
It's not cavalier, is it?
No, we've got holding players, haven't we? Who sit in there. It's just the fact that this day and age, if you've got fullbacks, you've got a bit of pace. Let them go forward. Let them go past the wings if they.
Talking
have to.
Of which, I mean, we've got to mention Jedi.
Slow him into.
By the credit,
he's not got the force, didn't he? Certainly used his force.
Was with him.
Yeah. He looks like he's out of a boy band as well, doesn't he? Like JLS or something.
But can play football.
Don't mean that in a strange way.
I mean, it's nice to see.
He's playing himself.
You know, he picked the last to progress his career, didn't he?
Yeah. You know,
he had that chance to go back and he picked us to progress his career.
But the first run he made down that last, everybody just went, my goodness, look at him go.
Yeah. That was the build up for the. Was that the first goal? Yeah.
As quick as Yannick. I mean, for me, it was as quick as Yannick ever was, and we know how fast Yannick was.
He was very, very quick, he was. He just stood out so much, he really was fast.
And he had a good delivery, yeah, when he got there. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we've seen players like that run it dead.
And have no end products.
What I would say on that side as well, if you think about it, I'm not going to criticise in any way last season Reece James and Elder, but they had nowhere near the pace. You couldn't ever see them knocking the ball past.
They were limited, weren't they?
They were decent footballers, but they were never going to knock the ball past and run and get to that line. So to me, it'll also help Jacobs on that side as well. Because what do you do as a fullback, particularly if you've got a luxury winger? What do you do as a fullback? Do you engage the player who's running at you, or do you go for the wing? Jacobs had a little bit more space to work.
Good, was he? He was superb, Jacobs. One of the best games I've seen him play for us. No, he scored two goals and could have had an.
But we can say for certain it's the best game he's played for us at this level, isn't it? The Championship level. Yeah. I think he was absolutely fantastic. I think that's what Gareth was saying about Massive played superb. Jacobs played probably very similar, but had the end product, didn't he?
I was not expecting that from last Sunday when we played at Rangers. The Sunday before. The contrast. I mean, I don't think the first half at Rangers played, you know, very well. We contained him, but I wasn't expecting such a high intensity, ferocious kind of let's try and.
Well, the friendlies are there for a purpose, and it's just to get the legs going.
The atmosphere coming out of the ground, though, everyone was buzzing.
On Saturday or at Rangers?
On Saturday.
Explain yourself, man.
So, but yeah, 3 points in the bag now, isn't it? You have to.
Reece James played well.
Professional debut.
Yeah, big strong lad. Again, he had a bit of pace about him, I thought. Yeah,
solid lad.
Solid, very solid.
I put him forward for my signing of the season in the Championship last week. I know it's only early, but we'll see.
Mine scored, so.
Cedric had a decent game.
Yes, he did. Missed the header for the whole putt.
Yeah. Guy who's only been in Wigan, 48 hours at that point?
Yeah. 21 years of age, the size of him. Yeah. That by stature, not like he's a monster or anything, which he is as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he's an outhouse. And
yeah.
I think he was good on the cover, wasn't he? I thought a few times he came across, didn't he? And I think that's what you get when your defence has not played together. You're going to get moments where there's going to be the odd gap. Because you're getting used to each other, but the good thing about it is they were all willing. If there was an error, the next player would be there covering. And I thought that they did that absolutely superbly on Saturday.
I think for Kev and the rest of his mates at Sheffield, though, it's going to be a long, long season.
Yeah, Barry Bannon looked all right, didn't he? Joe when he came on.
Look at the handful, really.
Forest Fury's goals.
Took it well, didn't
that,
he?
Last season, we'd have won that game 3-1. Because that goal wouldn't have been scored in League One, would it? Yeah. And that's the difference this season, I think. We'll get goals like that scored against us.
You look at the team, they've got a lot of quality players.
Yeah.
But it's that team.
Sheffield Wednesday's chairman's tweeting, I'd say that. We're going to have to put a bid in for one of the players, apparently.
A loan.
Is it a loan?
During the fans' forum, it was like, oh, well, we have better players than Wigan. I mean, they want a player on loan from us. It was kind of a point he was making.
Oh, right, okay. So
they've got, I mean, as Kev alluded to last week, they've got to get players out to meet their FFP obligations. So even if they send Forestieri out on a loan deal for a year, they have to do that to get, and there's anything that's a saleable asset.
Well, there's only three players of those that I'll take them anyway. Forestieri.
Bannon.
Barry Bannon, and Joe.
Yeah, from Saturday, but you've got to look at that grade. They've got Gary Hooper, Winall. You know, they've got.
You start them playing a different way, don't you?
I'd have Winall.
Yeah, but you need. I mean, we've got two strikers, haven't we? Because obviously, the Atlantic Coles appears to have no future with us, so we've got two strikers.
Would you not get Big Dave in as a different option?
No, I won't have him anywhere near the club.
Looking at last week, get a player like that. Trusted Paul Cook, because. Talked about the four signings that they introduced last week, and they were terrific, weren't they? We were all sat here saying how good they were, and for a first game that doesn't happen often, does it?
Well, the four debutants, and you could have put them all forward as man of the match, really.
Yeah, they're a royal effect.
Talking of which, Adam mentioned man of the match there. We ran a poll, didn't we?
Yes,
on Saturday
it was very very close to the top, and it's literally come down to point of a percent.
Well, was this on Twitter, this?
It was on Twitter, yes. Following us on at PWU Podcast. The top two came down to Darren Gibson and Michael Jacobs, both locked at a rounded 35%, but it was Darren Gibson who just came away as our man of the match, as voted by you, the listeners.
Well, it's hard to disagree with. My personal choice was Michael Jacobs for his two goals. I thought he was outstanding, but Gibson was very, very good.
Robinson and Massey also featured in our four selected for man of the match. So we'll be running that after every game.
Excellent stuff. Right, shall we move on?
Yeah,
great start to the season. We'll all agree.
Just talk about that game for about 5 hours.
It's a long season though, isn't it? You know,
45 to go. Yeah, we're in the top six. Let's just carry on that way.
We were second.
Yeah,
with Brentford. Shows you what a week can do. We drop from second to what?
Fifth.
Yes.
Cook out.
Never played though. Okay, right, there's been a bit of a movement. I mean, since we're last year, we've got Kippers come in, Jedi came in as well. Gareth talking to Jedi. Birthdays,
yes. It's Anthony Robinson's birthday today, isn't it?
It is. So happy birthday to Anthony Jedi Robinson. And also
21 today.
21. Also, Gareth's son, Jacob, is 21 today as well.
Yes, indeed. He's been and given his card and wished him a happy birthday.
You
yes.
get him a present as well. You tight sod.
Cash.
Oh,
are they 21. Cash.
Yeah, give us some cash.
Are they not having a joint birthday party, the pair of them?
they're having a sprint. So he's the fastest. Oh,
you Pat Robinson.
Anyway, happy birthday to the
happy
both
birthday.
Of them. And I believe you share a birthday with somebody, Gareth, as well.
Apparently, the lad was supposedly going to sign Callum Connolly.
Yes, coming on loan.
Loan once already from Everton. He's supposedly coming through today, and he shares a birthday with myself in September.
Same age as well, Gareth?
No. I'm a couple of years old.
What a debut he had as well.
Yeah.
So Kipre, what do we make of him? Good
did
signing.
A job, didn't he?
Reputedly £1 million, or it'll be a fee probably rising up to £1 million.
Did a job.
Yeah.
Very popular. It seemed very popular where he was previously, and most people well wish him, which is always a good sign, isn't it? You know, so he's
very interesting
character.
Competition for places there, isn't there, between the three of them?
Mm.
You've still got to put Bruce in. I know it will do his job, but you won't, probably not all season, but if you had to throw him in, he did it a few times for his last season, and he's obviously a good pro around, isn't he? Probably helps the younger players as well.
I remember getting back to Kipre, who we were talking about before we got distracted then. I remember before the cup final in Scotland, Motherwell, there was a feature on, I can't remember if it was Sky or the BBC, about him, and they took him round a pie shop, and he baked a cake, and he did some other stuff. He looked then an absolute character, and I remembered him from that alone. And I can see why he is so popular, because he connects with the fans well, and it's another addition to the club on that score. I think a good addition.
Is he already an international? Is he
Sierra Leone? Yeah, but he was born in Paris. He's
Ivory Coast, but
yeah. Well,
I don't want to be picky about it.
They're both in Africa.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's easy to get confused. He's actually French.
So we're saying we have to get him down the Muffin Man.
That's what I was coming to. Get him down the Muffin Man. And then if he comes from Sierra Leone or the Ivory Coast, it doesn't matter, because he'll be hooked on those Muffin Man pies.
Pie bar, that's what he needs on a Friday. Listen to the podcast.
At least we have international breaks off this year anyway, so we don't need to worry about cancelling fixtures, do we?
That's a good point, that, Adam. It's a really good point. Callum Connolly coming back, what do we make of that?
Apparently he's transformed into a midfielder kind of player. Gone to Ipswich fans, he played over 30 games in central midfield, so
yeah.
Be interesting to see where he fits, if that's the case, in the amount of players we've got.
It's led to some questions whether Nathan Byrne might be going, Sean McDonald. So hopefully. But Nathan Byrne's staying, but not really heard much about him last few weeks. I know he's injured apparently, but
I think Paul Kendrick said he was going to be back for the Bristol City game, so it seemed like he had a bit of an injury to be out for that length of time.
So yeah, I think it would probably have to see someone leaving, probably I don't know.
I think he's played a few games also at left back, I think, as well.
He played full back for us when he was.
Yeah, did he play both full backs for us when he was here?
He played left back. He played left back for the England under 21 team. That's who he's played for.
Yeah, I'm just wondering where would he come to us though as a kind of a utility cover player of a number of positions
on loan.
Yeah, I mean, it seems a.
Is it one of these that a certain Joe Royle's trying to bring in on loan from Everton? You know,
I mean, it might be a loan subject to a permanence as well once their finances sorted out. I mean,
once one league gets things over the line, then we'll know that
one lie. Yeah,
well, he's probably racked up. If he played whatever games you just said, Adam, he plays for Ipswich last year. The games he's played, he's probably racked up 50 Championship games now, hasn't he? So I mean, really, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? If we can get him.
Well, he was one of the few promising things from that season that came from that season, wasn't he? Game straight in, scored two goals, and to be honest, he filled the position that we needed to fill, and he was. I couldn't really fault him for anything
he
did.
No, and it's not easy coming into a team that's struggling. No.
Especially as a young lad who's come from an under-23 team, I think it'd be a good signing, a good player to throw in now and again if we need it. So.
We've also been linked with a move for Wolves winger, Jordan Graham, is it? Who was reportedly at the game on Saturday. There's photographs of him, but...
And again, it's like, where do you fit him in?
Yeah, it looks a bit like Freddy Krueger to me, that photograph.
There's a few photos of a few different people there, though, Saturday, weren't there? You know, it was a who's who. It was like a gallery of who's who. It's the
Steve club. Bruce were there.
Yeah, and there was.
Is he signing?
Joe Royle.
Joe Royle's son.
Decent player, Joe Royle, wasn't he?
Henry Cheng.
Yeah, one lie.
One lie were there.
So it's. Who knows?
We'll come to the new ones in a minute.
There's a couple of outs though, isn't there? There's a few people on.
Jordan Flores has left today, Adam.
Yeah, I've gone to Swedish club Östersunds FK.
Didn't Roberto Martinez get that link with them up and running when he was here? I think he did.
They're quite prominent in Europe, aren't they, as well?
Yeah, I know they played Arsenal home and away last season.
Yeah. If he can go there and get first team football.
Is it Potter's team? Was it Potter's team?
Swansea, he's there now. Yeah, Swansea.
He's just left, hasn't he? Yeah,
Potter's team, yeah.
And he won the league, didn't they, in Sweden? They qualified for Euro. They've done well.
He rose through the divisions quickly, right to the top, and then are now kind of challenging the title.
So he's gone to Swansea, have they?
Potter's gone to Swansea,
Swansea had the link with them before Roberto came here, and then we developed that link as well.
Was it Jordan Musto who went to Finland? Listen on the Latics official podcast.
Well, we've sent a couple of players to Östersunds as well in the previously.
I can't remember.
Yeah, going back to when Roberto first came.
If he can play first team football,
cracking
there,
it's cracking little club.
Also, they reported a bid for Dan Byrne as well, £3 million from
Östersunds.
From
Brighton and Hove Albion,
So you know a bit about that, don't you? A bit of inside info, but you're not going to name any names, obviously. No. It's not from the Wigan side, but...
No, from further afield, that's all I'll say.
By all accounts, they were there on Saturday to watch
it. Yes, a photograph of him as well. Or her, or it.
Didn't realise Big Jam was in a Castoplast, did they?
No.
Castoplast. Is that like a plaster cast?
Plaster cast, yeah.
I'm going to have to leave that herbal tea alone, mate.
But, let's hope we can just, get through to, is it 5 o'clock tomorrow, or Thursday if you listen to us on Friday, without any too many of our big names leaving.
But it doesn't matter, though, because people can take them on loan.
They can, yeah, but are we going to send someone like Dan Byrne out on loan?
No, but you can do it with a future guaranteed buy.
Yeah. So it's still a buy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not really able tomorrow.
They could pay us £3 million for a loan. Pay the balance of £50 in January. I mean, there's ways around these things, isn't there? But let's hope it doesn't happen anyway. We want the big players to stay, and Dan Byrne is
one of the biggest.
Keep the feel-good factor going at the club, keep the core there.
Yeah. So, any more rumours? Have we heard anything on the Great Line? Line? Not line?
No,
that's it. Yeah.
They've gone quiet on the other Everton player, haven't they? What was it? Peddington, was it?
Potential bit of cash coming in if it comes to fruition. I know West Brom have had the bid turned down for James Taverney from Rangers, so that could be a bit of money for us in the big circle of transfer wheeler dealings.
That'll be all right, won't it? A nice little bonus for...
I think Rangers have said £3 million, which leg do they want, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Club captain.
Yeah, that's why he's been made club captain, yeah. Yeah.
I think they'll take a bit more than that to prize away from Ibrox.
Talking of photographs, Henry Cheng was photographed, or reportedly Henry Cheng was photographed at the game on Saturday.
We compared two pictures, didn't we? We had the picture from... that was doing the rounds.
From the Viz.
Yes. And then good old Wikipedia picture as well, didn't we?
Yeah, it was the same.
They were the same person,
it
yeah.
was, yeah. And also, I was talking to some people who'd done hospitality on Sunday. I was talking to them on Sunday, they'd done the hospitality. And they said, they confirmed that they'd seen Henry Cheng. And they had the photograph, the kids had the photographs taken with him, with the new kits on. With the, and that, and they said they had scars around their necks, the Chinese. But somebody said they might have just come over watching Wigan Athletic play.
They could have played perfect.
We are massive, to be fair, so
yeah,
we're drawing all sorts.
Gallen could have got in touch with them saying fancy
was one of Milan's many friends, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We're not going that
way. Let's just wait and see. It's, it should be coming to a head any time now, shouldn't it?
Yeah. Right, talking of, you mentioned there about the player of the season poll, Si. We ran another poll, didn't we? On
Graham.
Over the weekend.
Lewandowski.
Yes, the goal music. It is back. Yeah. It's not Tom Hark anymore, is it? It's the... Klungs, is it?
Klungs, this yeah. girl.
And we just did a simple, straight goal music, yes or no. And unanimously?
Oh,
yes. Our listeners voted yes for the gold music.
Oh, unanimously? Yes. Not when I said unanimously, you said yes, yes for that. Yeah. But you meant yes.
Yes. Our listeners,
that's clear, that.
Our listeners are in favour of gold music.
Yeah. The only trouble is if you're losing 5-0 and you score a goal, make it a 5-1, does it get played then?
Well.
I would. You know, you set the machine to yourself, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, it could keep you in the league, that one goal.
It could do.
Or win you the league.
And Paul Jewell, you still have that.
I feel like another positive of the goal music is if a team gets beat, it's another thing they can moan at along with the empty seats. You know, they can try and.
Yeah.
I mean, they're.
Oh, like, goal music, empty seats, you know, but we still lost. Yeah. So.
At least we don't do laps of honour after our first. We didn't do a Peterborough, did we, on Saturday?
Shots fired.
Sigh. Again, it seems like this is Si says this, isn't it? Si
oh, here we go. Thorpe, you'll be loving that comment.
Put your hands on your head.
We've got the Miller preview coming up, but before we do, have you got some questions from our listeners, Si? I know you've been tweeting and asking people to send in the questions.
Yeah, just three this week, so three goes into four. So maybe two of you can double up.
Gareth.
At Atlatics asks, thoughts on the current contract situations of many of our key players? So they're talking about
Morsi,
Powell,
Jacobs, Joyce Sarley signed, aren't they? Dan Byrne, Nathan Byrne.
Their contract's coming to an end. What's your thoughts on what we should be doing, or you know, where their heads may be at?
I wish you'd asked me this question before, really, because, you know, I'm a club man, and I'm a Paul Cook man, and whatever he decides, and whatever he comes up with will be great. As we've just seen, he's brought some new players in who are fantastic, so we've got a great squad, but we're talking about players like that that we want to keep, certainly the likes of Dan Byrne and Morsi. Powell and Jacobs probably less so, because Jacobs has been with us a few while. Powell is a saleable asset, isn't he? So I suppose it's a financial decision, really.
Yeah, I
I'd like to have had some more time to think about that, really.
Well, if we're doubling up, you think about Nick Powell. If Gareth, if the new owners are coming in and the takeover's going to happen sometime in the next 5 years. It seems to be dragging on. But it's going to happen imminently, isn't it? Surely a player, their ambition is to get the club into the Premier League. Surely, they've got Nick Powell is a player that we should be keeping hold of. and as a saleable asset, that won't matter as much now, because you know we're going to have money behind us, so it'll be more about bringing, like when Whelan first turned up and he started to bring in the players that we only ever, I mean, I remember spending 150 grand on Graham Jones and thinking, where's this money come from? What a fantastic amount, you know, we're dealing with the big boys here. So for me, players like Powell and perhaps Dan Byrne, I put into that bracket, that they could play in the Premier League, so they're the players that we should be 100% trying to keep hold of, and I'd be talking away. But if they're refusing, this is, you know, I'm with you on this perhaps one, if they're refusing to sign a new deal because they want to keep their options open, then we can't afford to lose 5 million on Dan Byrne and 10 million on Nick Powell, can we?
No.
So that's when the silver assets become exactly what they are.
I suppose depends about from where we were, where rumour has it we haven't a lot of money, to where we could be if this takeover comes into being. If it comes into fruition and we have got a lot of money, then them are different circumstances, aren't they?
Yeah.
Next one.
A player like Sam Morsey. Sorry, Sam.
It's okay.
I don't think he... Sam Mar. I don't think a top-end championship club would come in for Sam Morsey. I don't think a Stoke City, who... I mean, they've not started the season so well, have they? Or a Brentford, then, who, shall we say? Or somebody at the top end of the championship. I don't think he's the type of player they would be looking to bring in. So I can't really see Sam Morsey moving on. I think he'd stay with us, because he's as much opportunity with us to carry his career forward as he would have with anybody else he could possibly take him. I don't know, what do you think about
that? I agree with that. I can kind of see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
I think he loves it. He's the captain for a start, so you know, if you're a captain at a club, you want to keep it
loves,
going, don't you?
Loves Paul Cook as well.
Yeah. And he's got his international debut with us, and that it must mean a lot to
him. He's also one of them, isn't he, that we know how good he is, but he's not necessarily one of those players.
He's not a standout, is he?
No, he doesn't get spouted around, does he? He's not like maybe the work might not be the sexy player like Paul.
Oh, hello.
You know what I mean? That kind of,
with people doubling up on him.
So
but the fact that he's a very disciplined player and plays the role he does gives the opportunity for the likes of Powell and
Jacob. Oh, yeah. He's a coach's dream, isn't he? And a manager's dream. And he plays the system as it should be. But most teams seem to have a Sam Morsey, don't they? A steady Eddie in the team, a rock steady player. You know, he's not. I don't think, for me personally, that. I can't see. Could anybody see a Premier League club coming in for him at this stage? No. They couldn't. So where's he going to go? That is going to further his career. He might as well stop it. I'm not saying settle for us because we're the best they can get, but I think it'd be foolish to leave because he's settled in. He's, like Adam said, he's club captain.
Yeah.
And he must be on a decent whack. And when the new money comes in, obviously, hopefully they'll all get a pay rise. Happy days.
Premier League, here we go.
Yeah, so Talk Latic. You know, that's what I think of it. Anyway.
Okay. At Wiganer, Dave asks.
But then again.
asks. And this is for young Adam.
Oh.
Is a top half finish an unrealistic aim given the seasons Millwall and Sheffield United had and the quality within our dressing room?
No. I don't think a top half finish is in any way unrealistic. I mean, I'd say our squad is in a better way than Millwall's were last season, and they literally just finished outside the playoffs. I mean, now we've got a game under our belt and we've got our first taste of what this squad could be about. Of course, why not aim for the playoffs? Because, you know, using Sheffield United as an example, I think we're up there with them on the same kind of level. So, after Saturday, I'd be very optimistic about the season, and hopefully if we can keep the key players, keep the team spirit together and keep this attacking football, why not? Let's aim as high as possible.
I'm going to throw the next one over to the older Adam, but I'm sure the rest of the panel will want to get involved. Ooh. At Stephen H924 Hayes asks, what's your take on the takeover given no information from the board and no one seems to have any answers?
Have you any answers, Adam?
Well, quite clearly I don't have a definitive. I mean, it's, I think we're, like we've already alluded to it this evening, haven't we? I think it's round the corner, isn't it? And I just think let's not worry. We're out. We're dealing with, you know, there's some clever minds at Wigan. You know, they know what they're doing. So let's just trust them, and what will be.
Case or
not? I'm not worried about it. I certainly don't have the answers exactly. I can't say that it's going to happen tomorrow. Or it's going to happen 3 weeks on Tuesday. But I'm sure it's going to happen eventually. And there's rumours about what is actually delaying it. I'd be surprised if it's a Football League issue at this stage, in my view, a fit and proper person's issue. Maybe, I don't know, I'm not an expert in sort of Hong Kong kind of stock market rules or whatever, but I'm sure it is progressing, and I don't think we need to worry. It's not really derailed us in any way. I think arguably we've had a better summer in the market than we had last time. And what will be. Let's not worry. Let's put a smile on our face and enjoy ourselves.
I don't think the Chinese consortium and Joe Royal and his son are coming to every Latics game just to, because we're going to have Latics supporters, aren't they? So it must be getting close now.
Stuff is happening, isn't it? Yeah. And let's. It's going
to. And there's no disclosure contracts been signed, so that's why there's no information coming out. But it's natural for fans to be inquisitive, isn't it? You know, and
inquisitive is because it's exciting and people want to know. You know, it's like waiting for Christmas in a way, isn't it? You know, it will arrive eventually.
I think the response to Stephen Hayes is then when on the wires are like you. It's what will be at this point.
Yeah, that we can actually say in public.
Yeah.
Let's move on quickly.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, it's over to you, Harry.
Thanks for the question.
Right, we've got our first away day of the season coming up on Saturday. Villa away. And we'll do a quick ref watch before. We've got Jules to speak to, Adam, haven't we, from Jules.
Jules Keane, yeah.
Jules Keane as mustard he is on the Villa.
Friend of a friend of mine, Stuart Odson, big Latics fan. So he's giving me a tip off. He's a big Villa fan, very knowledgeable. So he'll be fine.
We're going to give him a ring in a minute. So we'll just do a quick preview from our end and do the ref watch. So we've got Villa away on Saturday. The referee is Jeremy Simpson. He comes from Carnforth. It's 27 games last season. 74 yellows and 4 reds. That is totally untrue. That's not what he's done at all. I don't know how that's
fake news
appeared on air, but he did a lot more than that, and he issued 150 yellows and 11 reds. He refereed us twice last season. In fact, I'm going to start that again.
Fake news.
Jeremy, proper fake news. Who wrote all this out? I don't know. Jeremy Simpson, last season he did 42 games, 167 yellows and 10 reds. He refereed us twice last season, and both were in the Football League Trophy. Blackpool away, when it went to the ABBA penalties after a 1-1 draw.
Super Trooper game, yeah.
And then the one where Adam made a lot of money, and Adam bottled out. Accrington Stanley at home.
What an event that was.
Yeah, well, he was the referee for that game.
what a corporate. It was Liddell.
From what I remember of him, he wasn't too bad. He's had a bit of history with Villa. He's had a couple of run-ins with Steve Bruce.
Against Bolton as well, wasn't
it? It was last September, yeah.
And then Cardiff as well.
It was unseasonable snow last...
In September.
Yeah.
All will be revealed, listeners.
Yeah. Simpson's a former Premier League and FIFA international assistant, so he's been around the top flight. He's part of the Select 2 group of professional refs after rising through the refereeing ranks. He was conference level in 2012 and then found his feet in the Championship 4 seasons later. Last weekend he was in charge of the Sheffield United Swansea game, which finished 2-1 to the Swans.
Not a bad game.
In that match, Simpson awarded just 12 free kicks. He allowed the game to flow, as the report says. And he didn't hand out a single card of either colour to either team. Jeremy Simpson. So, hopefully he's going to, you know, be similar sort of... free flowing on Saturday. I'm just looking at the previous games against Villa. I've got 22 down here. Does that sound nice? 22.
Possibly. We played them every season, and it's, that's 16.
Yeah, so we've played them 22 times. We won 5. I think. Have we ever beat them at all? I don't think we've beat them.
Yeah, 3-2 first season.
Apart from that first season.
Jamie Jones made his debut at Villa Park last season.
In the League Cup.
I went and I thought it was a very accomplished performance.
We've drawn 6 and we've lost 11. Anyway, let's give your mates a ring and see what the crack is.
So,
I'm going to pass you over to Adam now, who's going to give Jules a ring.
Hello, we've got Jules Keane on here, Aston Villa fan. So, hi Jules, how are you?
How you doing, lad?
Yeah, we're great, thanks, enjoying the Wigan sunshine. Yourself?
Well, it's been raining down here all day today. It's the first time in a week, so can't grumble, really.
Yeah, well, you'll have to get up here on the 12th of January for the weather. It will be a fantastic day and night out for you.
I hope so.
Yeah, so just got to get your perspective, really, on kind of all things Villa and obviously the big top of the table clash on Saturday. So, mate, just as a starter, how did you come to support Villa and how long have you been supporting them for?
Well, I'm nearly 45. I've been supporting Villa for just over 30 years. I got into football quite late. It was just because of the 86 World Cup was so good, with England getting to the quarterfinal, Maradona and all that. My dad is not into football, so it was just from the World Cup myself getting into it. So I didn't start supporting Villa until I was nearly 14, but that's it. I've been going ever since.
Yeah.
We were in Division 2 when I started going, and we got up at the first attempt that time, but this time... not looking good. Third time now down here.
Yeah, so I guess that kind of leads us on really to this season. Yeah, you said third season in. What are the kind of the hopes for the season? What's the general kind of consensus amongst the Villa fans?
Well, obviously there's a lot more hope now. I mean, if we'd been having this conversation 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago even, it was doom and gloom because we didn't know whether we're getting new owners, we were keeping Dr. Tony as chairman, we didn't know whether we're going to have points or deducted going into administration. We just didn't know. There was so much uncertainty, and then these new owners have come in and it's helped, but we've still got the issues with the FFP that's overhanging. So if Village did go, that would sort out a lot of that, but that's a different issue altogether. It could do with keeping Grealish because he was our best player last season.
Yeah.
I mean, we've still got a day to go on the transfer window. At the moment we're looking at quite a lot of new players coming in. Two of them goalkeepers, when probably you can only do with one. Needed a new left back. Looks like Joe Bryan's coming from Bristol City. We've got Axel Zwanzibi coming in again from Man United on loan. And then I think he was looking at John McGinn up from Hibernian, because just in case they're going to speak go. But Wigan fans ain't like this. But the one I wanted was Nick Powell.
He's rubbish.
He's rubbish. Yeah. Always injured.
He's been told he's not for sale, but he's classy. I've been watching him ever since he was at Man U. Very good player. So I'd like him at Villa Park, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, talking about Grealish, I've heard today that Spurs have put a £25 million bid in, and it's been rejected. And he's not very happy because he was promised he could go if £25 million came in. It sounds like he's might have had a quiet word with the Spurs board there himself to put that bid in. Has there been any reaction back in Birmingham to it?
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of Villa fans are delighted. They're hoping he stays, but from a cynical point of view, I think it's just tactics to get that extra few readies out of Spurs, leave it to the last minute. It's like a little tool to say, look, he's not for sale, he's not going anywhere. But I think if they come back, even at 30 or 32 million, they'll sell. I'm pretty sure they'll sell because, it's, like I said, they've still got this FFP over us, and that has to be addressed. Otherwise, you could get a massive fine like QPR did. So, because he costs nothing, if he sold for 30 million, that's 30 million straight off the FFP debt, which I think is 40 odd million shortfall. So, I think he'll go because, and they're just holding out for that extra bit of money. I think that's what it is. I mean, I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong in a way. I'd like him to stay, but I do know his dad. I've met him a few times. I meant to message him later on and see if, you know, what's the story with it, but I think we'll all find out what's going on tomorrow, because it's deadline day tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is he going to be the difference between you guys having a successful season and becoming like a mid-table championship team, or do you think you've got enough within your squad to help yourselves kick on? Because you watched the game on Monday night we played against Hull. You know, you got like El Mohammadi, who scored a cracking goal, and it was a joy to watch Villa really on Monday night. They were playing some good football.
They were, yeah. I mean, you've got to look at three defenders scored though, and we're still struggling to score goals. I worry about the striker situation, but if Relish did go, Bruce, he might start playing two up front, but I doubt it because he's really starting to build tactics. But I'm a Bruce In brigade person. We call him the Bruce Out, the Bruce In, because of the fact. And I've always been Bruce In because I think that if you stick with him, he will get us up.
So just why does he divide opinion then? Is it partly because of the, you know, his previous sort of Birmingham career, or is it just the style of play?
I don't think it's that. There's probably a very small few that still think that, but I don't think it's that. I think it's just his tactics. I think there's games where we're not attacking enough and sit back. I mean, the Wembley final, if you watch that, the first half, it's just, you know, just didn't go for it. I think if it had gone for it, you know, you can't really like sit back and soak up the pressure and then attack them second half. I think if it had just gone for it from the first, we could have won that game. And but then again, against Wolves earlier in that season, we weren't that great first half. It was only the second half we passed them all the chances went in, and we ended up winning 4-1, I think it was. Against Fulham, we did have our chances that second half, and we just couldn't put them away. Really, last gasp tackle, when Grealish ran from the halfway line, it would have been a wonder goal. Good defending from Fulham, and Hogan had a good header, a good chance to miss, but, and there's two or three others. He could have still won that game, and people would be thinking Bruce the sunshine out of his backside, but at the moment we've still got Villa fans who are questioning his tactics and think he's too old-fashioned. They want more exciting football, but what I say is get us out of the championship and then maybe look around for a new manager.
So what were your thoughts on the couple of weeks ago when it was all going mad and the links with Thierry Henry? I mean, was there ever any, do you think, any belief in that? And what would you have thought if Bruce had gone and he was appointed?
Well, Thierry Henry, he was mooted for the job, and I think they were going to interview him, but they gave Bruce a chance for, there's a lot of Villa fans who just wanted Henry in there just to get rid of Bruce. They didn't care who it was, they just thought that maybe Henry, because the player he was, he might bring attacking football in, and that's what they wanted. The Bruce out brigade wanted gone, and were gutted when he stayed. But personally, me, I'd rather have anybody than Thierry Henry. I can't stand him anyway, because I'm Irish descent, and I still can't forgive him for what he did for the Ireland team for the 2010 World Cup. But not only that, take personal vendettas aside, he's got no Manchester League experience, he's never played in the Championship. And he's never managed a cup before. I know Wolves had a new manager last year, Nuno, who got them up. He's never been in the Championship, but at least he's managed before, and he had a lot of good connections back in Portugal. I think it's a different thing. I really didn't want to get on, so I'm glad we kept Bruce, because
yeah,
I think you know, he could get us up this season, but it all depends on what happens in the next 24 hours. If we keep Grealish, that's great, but then could he be a bit dissatisfied if he's half a set on going? He might knuckle down, or he might be sulking, you don't know. But if we get all these players in and they all sign tomorrow, you've got McGinn's supposed to be a real hot prospect from Scotland, and we really needed a new left back and a new goalkeeper. And if we can get a striker in as well, because I think Todd's gone off the ball, I don't think his heart's in it anymore, and Hogan's injury prone, and we lost Graben. We do need a striker as well.
Yeah, so obviously we are where we are. Thursday will be what will be, and then we move on. I guess we move on to Saturday, and we're back onto the real business of the game. So how do you think? How do you see that game going on Saturday then? First home game of the season.
Well, I'd like to think that we should have enough in our armoury to win the game, but I mean, we're going to be bullied from that win on last week with a beat Sheffield Wednesday. I didn't see any of the highlights because I had recorded the Championship on Channel 5, it wasn't on. you know, I've got to, apparently he's gone to Quest, but I didn't know. I was expecting his tapes on Channel 5.
You think they said that it was shit?
So yeah, so I missed it. I hadn't seen your goals. I just know the results. It was 3-2.
Everyone was a cracker.
Powell scored.
Yeah.
Everyone was a cracker, and we had 21 attempts on goal, 15 of which were on target. And that's the way we play these days.
Yeah, attacking side. We're definitely not going to sit back like the last time we went to Villa. We're going to give it a go, I think. So it should be, in our view, it should be a good game.
Yeah, and we've got a reasonable record at Villa Park, haven't we?
Yeah.
During the years, especially in the Premier League.
You did. I remember being at a game, it might have been 6-7 years ago. It was around Christmas time, and we'd just been smashed 8-0 and 4-0. Wigan come, and we thought, oh, we've got a good chance here, and you smashed us as well, 3-0. 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, signing.
He had a great game on Saturday. I think most people rated him man of the match, so it's hopefully keeps that performance going through the season, really.
And the referee on Saturday, the referee, Jules, on Saturday, is a certain Jeremy Simpson, and you had a bit of trouble with him last year, I believe. The home game against Bolton, he issued a red card, which seemed to upset quite a few people. I don't know if you remember that game.
I remember. Was it the one up at when it's snowing and it shouldn't really have gone ahead? Was it that game or was it the one back at Villa Park?
No, it was the one in September at Villa Park. Unless it snowed in Birmingham in last September. I don't know.
You have to refresh your memory. You got sent off.
I was hoping you'd know that because I've not got that bit written down, but I do know that.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
All right. Well, what about the game against Fulham? Because he was in charge of that one as well. Not Fulham, sorry, Cardiff. Cardiff City. Was that a feisty game?
Yeah, that Cardiff City game. Oh, I tell you what, I know
it's
fair and foul grace, but they really didn't deserve to go up last year. If you'd have watched the Championship last year, Cardiff had awful Warnock tactics. They had the right-sided, this is a throw-in on the left, the right-sided centre-half, the captain, he just nonchalantly walk over. I mean, this is after 15, 20 minutes, and just nonchalantly walk over, and then steal about 10 yards as he's throwing. And that's just some of the tactics, and just like fouling and spoiling. They're just horrible team. And,
Warnock.
They
should have had at least 3 centre-half in that game.
Yeah, well, you won't get that from us on Saturday. So with that in mind, we do a prediction league here, and we always put it out to the opposition fans as well. So what would be your predicted score for Saturday?
Well, I can see there being quite a few goals again. Early in the season, teams are still finding their feet. You must have a load of new signs, probably 4 or 5. And we might be starting 4 or 5. I think it'll be goals again. I'd hope to think that we win, but I think there'll be lots of goals. Say 3-2, I'd go. Another 3-2 result in our favour.
Yeah, sounds like a good game.
That's what my heart says, what my brain says. Probably a draw.
I think we'd take that, wouldn't we? I'd have that.
We'd have a draw.
I'd take a draw, but...
Yeah.
If I had to say something, I'd probably say 3-2 to us, but... early season, that you just surprise results. You could easily come down there and turn us over. I just don't know. You know, all this Relish stuff will unsettle the squad. But let's just hope it's all sorted tomorrow, and then let's just focus on Friday in time for Saturday.
Yeah. Okay then, Jules. Thanks very much for that.
Are you all coming down?
Yeah.
I'm unfortunately not. I've been double booked, unfortunately, at a couple of parties, which is very disappointing.
He's got a shopping trip to Lidl, I'll tell you, with his missus. That's where he's going.
Anyway, so thanks very much for that. Cheers for coming on. Okay, thanks.
Take it easy, lads.
All right. Yeah, see you in January.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
No worries. Take care. Bye
now. Well, that was weird, wasn't it? I mean, We knew what was going to be said. I can't believe that, did we?
That's the future. That's why we win all our money, you know, predicting Stoke to win the league.
Belting. Seemed a decent enough fella, didn't he?
Yeah.
What his prediction?
I have. He's gone for a 3-2 on the old Tix predicts.
Yeah, so...
Sounds like it's a very interesting transfer window for them, isn't it?
Yeah. The skin, certainly. They've not made any.
I invent some.
John McGinn, I mean, he's somebody we were linked with a couple of years ago, wasn't he?
Mm.
Young lad.
Sounds like he's quite excited about him coming in, so yeah. To be honest, I don't know a lot about him.
The McGinn brothers, then, there's three of them play up in Scotland.
I think for Villa, they need to shift an asset quickly, don't they?
Yeah.
Get that FFP off the back.
Yeah, I mean, maybe by the time some people listen to this, that's already been done. I think Reela shall go before they close of the window.
Yeah.
I agree with what Jules said, that they're just trying to squeeze a few more quid.
Which is worse. In the position they're in.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, we'd do the same thing, wouldn't you? I mean, we did Bianic, didn't we? We turned bids down for him last winter to get a few more quid. So, Gareth. Villa away. More of the same from Saturday, do you think?
I would like to think so, yes. I would definitely like to think so. They started with a win as well, didn't they? They won at Hull 3-1 on Monday, having last season reached the playoffs, so they'll be up for it. They'll be going for 3 points. We play well like we did last week, we'll be going for 3 points. Should be a good game. Would you like a prediction?
Yes, please.
I was wrong last week. I thought we'd have a battling draw, and I was wrong. And I was wrong, really. I hope I'm right this week, and we'll win 2-0.
I think you're the only person who didn't go for a Latic win last week.
Yeah,
weekend,
yeah. But there's only 1 point gained by everyone else, so there's
you're
no
still
gap.
In it. You're still in it.
Yeah.
Adam?
Yeah, I think it looks like it's going to be an entertaining game. I think they like to attack. I think they'll have to attack. They're at home. It's a massive game for them. First game of the season. I think that's the way that we know, really. So, got to remember we're playing a top side here. And if we get away with, I'm not saying get away, but if we attain a draw at Villa, I think that's a fantastic result. And I think we'll get that. But I think it'll be an entertaining Desmond Tutu.
Adam?
Well, I agree with the other Adam. I think getting a point would be a fantastic result on Saturday. Villa obviously going to be a large crowd on. You know, they're going to be fired up after the opening day win. So, yeah, I'm hoping for a 1-1 draw would be a good result to take away and hopefully keep up our. Hopefully it's a good performance and we show the same attacking intent and try and stay solid at the back. But a 1-1 will be great.
Ah, excellent. What do I think? It's very, very tricky, isn't it? Especially this stage of the season and not knowing how things are. I can't see us keeping a clean sheet because the way this division's set out and the way teams play and the way we play, I think every game we're going to be in this season is going to be an entertaining game full of goals, and it's just which way it'll go. It could go 3-2, 3-2, 3 apiece, 2 apiece, you know, it's one of them, isn't it? I definitely think that. But I'm going to cast my line on the side of the positive with Gareth, and I'm going to go for the Latics to win by 2-1.
Excellent. Right, so do you want the odds sponsored by Ladbrokes?
Yes, please.
Yes, well, I see, when we come to this again in a minute, there's going to be some arguments. So with Ladbrokes, Villa are 10-11, the draw 12-5, and the Latics are a 3-1 win. Villa 1-0, 6-1, 2-0, 8-1, 2-1, 15-2, and 3-0, 16-1. The draws 0-0, 17-2, 1-1, 11-2, and a Desmond at 14-1. Wigan away, win. 1-0 Wigan, 10-1. 2-0 Wigan, 22-1. And a 2-1 away win, 12-1. I had, before we started going round the table, wrote down my prediction, which was a 2-2. Ooh. So I'm now matching Adam. And I think we will concede, because, you know, they're a very good team, as we've discussed. But I do think, you know, we've got the capability of scores. I'd love to replicate seasons past, you know, when Rodallega scored from almost a touchline, and, you know, come away with a win. But, yeah, a 2-2, anything like that, or better is a massive, massive bonus.
Mm. Yeah.
So yeah. And we've got a listener who's tweeted in their prediction. His name.
Well, there's a few, aren't there, tweeted them in?
Yeah, oh, yeah, there's quite a lot.
Jack.
Jack, yeah, I've gone for Jack _ Unsworth, who's gone for a 1-0 away win.
Good luck, Jack.
Anything from Paul Thorpe?
No, we just need Thorpe, he says, to tweet in with a hashtag tips predicts.
And Dan as well.
And at illiterates.
It's a bit harsh.
Illiterate. Oh, not illiterate. By the crin side.
Sorry,
come on.
I'm dyslexic.
We've got another game on Tuesday. Carabao Cup. So it's at this stage, it's a bit of meaningless, isn't it? You don't know if they're going to stick the reserves out or what's going to happen. But just we'll just do a quick preview of that. Rotherham away. Peter Banks is the referee. We've played Rotherham 37 times down the years. We've won 20, drawn 6 and lost 11. We always do okay at the place, don't we? Apart from, well,
that
we did okay
that
last season.
There was terrible, wasn't it?
Disgraceful, that, yeah. But we nearly made a comeback and snatched something in the end, didn't we? Very difficult to predict the way this is going. Is anybody really that, you know, concerned about this competition? Do we want to win it? Do we want to go far in it? We just want to get out of the way.
It's too soon in the season for me to be playing cup games like this. You don't mind January, you know, when you've played half a season, you know whereabouts you are, but you want to start well, don't you, in the league? So you make changes. It's a nothing game, really.
Sometimes it's good to go sometimes to watch, see if, you know, some players who you might not get a chance to see what they're like.
Yeah.
You know, we saw a few last year, didn't we? And it's good to see. But I think you've just got to go into the game not expecting much if you do want to go and watch the match.
You've got to look, you know, we're playing Forest on the Saturday after.
I think the thing is, as well, we've drawn a team from the same division and a team
that loses a bit, doesn't it? You know, if you play like
away.
Macclesfield, we've not been there for a while, have we, in those type of places.
Mm. I think for the fans, the grounds you've not been to for a while would have been great, but like I say, a team in our league, a ground that we've been to many a times in recent time, I'm a bothered.
And it's going to be it's obviously the third choice based on what Paul Cook said last year and the way that he sort of looks at them. So we know what to expect. If you go there and pay your money and say, oh, he's not played a full strength team, then you're a bit stupid, aren't you?
Hey, I was just thinking about that, our first choice cup competition, if we win as many games this season as we did last season in it, we'll win the cup.
Yes, because we enter at a later stage, don't we? Round 3.
Absolutely, yeah. And that'll be obviously our second choice one at competition.
Yeah.
Hey, league.
What a season. Win the FA Cup and
get
promoted.
Yeah, brilliant, isn't it? Brilliant. Oh, yeah.
With no fans?
No fans and goal music.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How good's that?
That boils some piss, won't it?
Absolutely. Bring it on.
Hey, last time we did start with a win in this division, we went on to get in the playoffs and semi-final of the cup.
Yeah, Barnsley
4-0.
Yeah, so there we go. It's made for the season now.
Yeah, so sit back and
relax. And Callum McManaman came on as a substitute in that game, in the second half.
He did, yeah.
Amazing. It's great to be back in it.
Oh, it's brilliant, yeah. Yes, isn't it? I mean, I've said before, went to that last week. During the summer, I wasn't that excited about stuff. I think the World Cup sort of killed that off. But Saturday, I had butterflies in my tummy when I woke up, and I was like, wow, what's all this?
Saturday on it, match day, and that was something about
I'll just comment on it. I don't know, you might agree or disagree. Did anybody see the match day programme?
Yep.
I didn't like the cover.
You know, the character chose.
No, I didn't like it at all. Don't think it looked like him. Paul Cook.
Oh, I'd be interested to see a couple more.
Yeah,
the club are always welcome with feedback, aren't they? So.
Yeah, I didn't like it. It reminded me of a programme we used to do back in the, I think it was the 80s, where it was Pendron, and I think we had different players on the front, or maybe Bobby Campbell. It was Bobby Campbell's era with the iron top.
I think
that
what,
was similar.
I think what's, I've set out a place for my programme this season. Because obviously the spine's always made like a tifo, wasn't it?
Like the badge, yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like it's going to appear this season.
Unless the first one's just blue and it builds up to something. So yes.
It was a bit thinner as well this year.
Yeah, I noticed that, yeah.
But it's still only £3, which is good value.
Yeah, and we're still doing them.
Get your programmes, don't let it die.
Can I just say something? You'll probably cut it out because it's probably rubbish, but I'll say it anyway. I was waiting
big build up
before the game, and I said, I'll meet you near Whelan's statue. And I'm stood there near Dave Whelan's statue, and she was a bit late, so I stood there quite a while. I became a photographer. The number of Sheffield Wednesday fans who came past.
What's an hour?
On Saturday.
Oh, right.
On Saturday. Yeah, I was waiting for her. Near Whelan's statue.
Oh, before the game.
She was late getting there, so I stood there for quite a while.
I was important.
The Sheffield Wednesday fans who came up to me and said, will you take me a photograph near this statue? Get the DW in the background as well. I took loads of photographs, could have made money.
Yeah, she's not bad for a picture.
It's like London Bridge.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It good, good banter with some of them too. Yeah. They were all wishing as well, they were.
That's good. Yeah. There's a couple kicked off after the game, weren't there?
We'll not give them the airtime.
No, we're not. No.
On a positive note, the pitch was looking fantastic.
Oh, God, another final positive note.
Beautiful pitch.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to suit our style. You know, that's going to get us an extra 10 points this season, that pitch.
Back to the media and everything team like that. We've got the little goal gif, haven't we, that flashes when we score on Twitter. But the stats pages that they've put out and, you know, the graphics, it's all looking a bit more...
professional.
Well, yeah.
Because you've got guys in there who are...
top guys.
Yeah, and they love the club as well, and they're doing it with their heart as well as their brain, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they just want the best for the club. And I know media people who work for get a bit of stick now and again, but it goes with the territory, that, doesn't it? Because you can't please everybody all the time. No. But I think they do an absolutely fantastic job. Ash, Nick, James, the rest of them, all of them, do a brilliant job.
Very engaging, aren't they, now, with the fans.
And the Community Trust as well, what a fantastic job they're doing. I think we're very, very lucky here. We've got a brilliant club, brilliant staff, great season ticket prices, and we've got a good team with a cracking manager. What can go wrong?
And a great and a great fans podcast.
Oh, isn't it the best?
A free phone ticket office number.
Oh, isn't the Latics brilliant?
It's lovely. Cracking little club.
Brilliant. On that note, let's wrap it up. Good night.
Good night.
All the positive ticks.